right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday. We finally broke the freezing mark. I saw last night before I crashed out, it was 37 degrees here in upstate New York and sleeting. Looks like right now it is 32 and overcast. We have broken the slump of single-digit numbers. Stuff started melting last night, actually. You could hear stuff sliding off the roof. It was kind of weird, but hopefully this happens in slow-mo, and I think it probably will. I saw that they are predicting single digits again by, like, tomorrow, so might be very short-lived for the Northeast, but anyway, it at least made me feel good. I heard a bird tweet this morning. I mean, it's been eons since I've heard birds tweeting. So spring is on the way. And hey, don't forget, but this Saturday night, early Sunday morning coming up, it is fall back to spring with daylight savings. So yes, we lose an hour, but wow, it'll be nice because it'll stay lighter longer. So, all right. You know, I mentioned yesterday, I don't really ever know. Sometimes I do, but a lot of times I don't know what the show's going to be about until that morning, and then I always find a thread and I start pulling it and the sweater unravels, and that's how it happens. But it just coincidentally seems to be in line with the first two things we talked about Monday and Tuesday this week. Monday, we talked about the FCC takeover of the internet, and I had caught someone in chat say something that I was defending big ISPs, and I want to make a note on that because I wasn't. I was looking at the situation from an engineering perspective, from the corporation that has to build the infrastructure to support the internet, because I know the cost that entails. And as traffic increases exponentially, as a business owner, putting myself in their shoes, it's unsustainable if you don't pay for what you're using, especially if you're making an entire business model on using my equipment. But I don't want to get on that today. What's interesting, though, about that whole situation, what I was talking about in that episode on Monday, I think it was Internet Usurpation Commences is what I ended up titling it, is that all the stories that came out from the mainstream and from the propaganda arm were just that, propaganda, saying, hey, the people won. We won that neutrality. It's you against the big boys, and now you can have equal access to the internet. But that isn't what it's all about. I mean, like I said in that episode, we've been paying for bandwidth for a long time, and if you want a bigger pipe, you pay more. That's called a free market economy. And if your internet service provider sucks, then you go find another one. That's the way it works. And that pretty much created a self-policing industry where we didn't need some large government entity saying, bad Johnny, you did too much. Now we're going to put you in timeout in the corner and we're going to fine you, because that's what the FCC does really well. Then yesterday, we looked at one story, which was highly unusual, but hey, I had a lot to blab about. Because there was a personal note in there, just having a child myself and watching all this happen. But we did a story on the effect of electronic devices on human development and what they are discovering, and some of the effects that it's going to have long term, they believe. And actually, they said they didn't know. But I have been doing my own lab experiment for quite a number of years now. And I absolutely 100% can see the effect of these devices on growing children. I mean, there's an absolute 100% personality change that seems to be turning these kids into dysfunctional human beings, ones that we call sheeple, quote unquote, unaffectionately so. I don't want that for my kid. I want my kid to wake up and pay attention, not get sucked into the matrix. And that's what they're trying to do. So anyway, today's lecture is going to be on propaganda. There was a story I found last night that came out of RT. And remember, we've talked about RT and their mission and their financing. RT is actually financed by the Russian government. If you go onto Wikipedia, and I know you can complain all you want about how how much money the Russian government spends on it. Just always remember that when you propagandize in another country, you're trying to at least get your ideas out there, if not destabilize that country. So they either become easy pickings or you take them off the top of the pile so you can become the head honcho in the world, the leader, right? Psychopaths go for being leaders. That's what it's about. They want to rule the roost. And I honestly think, I mean, when you look at some of the things that RT comes out with, though, yes, I can see how exposing all of Hillary Clinton's flaws and Obama's flaws and the NSA's flaws and the surveillance and all the different things that RT deals with, I could see how it would be in the Russian government's best interest to point out to the American people and the rest of the world how diabolical the United States is under the covers. But if you look at it from playing the propaganda game, they kind of have won, haven't they? They've done some pretty hard-hitting journalism. But on the flip side of that, when you look at what Russia's trying to do, they're not speaking anything that's not truth. I mean, I pay pretty close attention. I know where the news is coming from, and I know who's financing it. But they're digging up dirt that is on the side of our side. Now, look, I don't want to be under Russian rule. I remember when this whole thing first started happening and I was having this internal argument with myself. I'm like, on what fucking planet would I ever think that I liked the Russian leader better than ours? You know, I mean, it was just like somebody flipped the world upside down and started shaking it to make all the change fall out of the pockets. I totally remember that. It's when I first started doing this stuff. And I was like, whoa, talk about like head F. That's what it was. But the thing is, RT, and there are others, Press TV, I noticed, which is the Iranian television, has really stepped it up recently. Pigmine's been posting some clips from Press TV on topics that I haven't seen from anywhere else, especially in the mainstream, addressed at all. And instead of it being a 30-second clip with a lady with a burqa like it used to be on Press TV, it was he still looked Middle Eastern, but he was a very Westernly dressed guy who spoke good English. He gave his one-minute report, not 30 seconds, and then he brought a guest on and discussed it for another 4 minutes. Now, that's some journalism. And they were all on great stories, and they were all great guests, and I thought they made a great presentation. So, as the propaganda war with Bibi showing up in front of Congress to talk about the threat from Iran, it's very interesting that Iran just recently stepped up their propaganda to the United States. But again, like I said, the foreign propaganda coming in here, even though they have their own reasons for doing so, is exposing the lies that we're being propagandized with. Now, here's some interesting stuff. I mentioned this before. Back in 2012 when the NDAA went through, that was the edict that legalized propaganda in the United States. And not just propaganda. Propaganda from our news agencies, from the movie companies. And not that that hasn't been happening since at least World War I or II. We'll look at that. There's actually a whole agency that was in charge of all that. And it included a lot of our media to target us with the message that they wanted us to believe. But the NDAA in 2012 is the document that actually legalized propaganda from the State Department, who's in charge of it all, against the people of the United States. All right, so what I want to do here Not really sure where we're going to start with these. Why don't we dig into the United States Information Agency? You know, back about a year ago, I dug really deeply into all this because I had not known, maybe it was even 2 years ago, I had not known that RT News was financed directly from the Kremlin. I was like, no, yes, it is. So that's when I got on the propaganda thread and started pulling on it and found a lot of interesting things. But here, we're gonna play. Let me see if I can pull myself in. I'm not quite sure if I have the player playing on my desktop, so I guess we'll find out. Hold on, I gotta find myself, and I never remember my name. Jules, there we go. Let's add to call. And now I got to remember to answer. There we go. All right, check it out. We don't have any feedback. Okay, so let me grab something that you all might remember. And this was from 2011. This was actually the clip, and at the time it was live, it was news, that made Madison. You guys remember Madison and the lie, Madison? This is what motivated Madison to start his End the Lie website. And I'm hoping here that this computer has just been having like syrupy issues for the last week, but maybe this will play. Let me see if I can make it play. This is what motivated Madison to start End the Lie. I might have to play some music and do some correction here because this is not going to work. If my shit doesn't work today. Oh, it's coming. Hold on. The one above it is coming. So the one below it'll be coming too. Should we play Jeopardy music? Do, 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 do. Here it comes. Here it comes. Oh, Jesus. Do, 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 do. Oh, an error occurred. Try later. Well, here, we'll go direct to YouTube. Maybe it's because it's embedded. This is like one of the frustrating things. And I got to tell you, it's been just since that new FCC edict of taking over the internet. And it just coincidentally so, it's been just since then that last Tuesday, as a matter of fact, that I've been having like mega issues here. And that's kind of what I want to tie this all into is this has been planned. What is going on right now with the takeover of the internet is all part of this propaganda campaign. And the fact that they've come out now and said 100% that we are losing this war against alternative news. Hold on, we're gonna change this because I can't stand this. Hold on, kill Skype, and we're just gonna relaunch everything on a different machine. How's that? Even though it's gonna take us a second, I just need to log into everything, and we should be all ready to rock and roll. Maybe it'll log me in. Hey, look at that! All right, I just need to engage one more phone call. Except not hang up on myself, which I just did. Oh, and I hung up on myself again. Hold on. This is where it gets confusing. All right, let's call Jules again. Jules, ringy dingy. All right, green. There we go. Wow, that was hard. And this is the machine that does not have the echo. So that's always a good thing. All right, hold on 1 second. Let's load this up one more time. Now, hopefully, this computer, this is a hardwired machine. This one should be functional. Maybe. Should the operative word. Oh, Nelly. Wow. I seriously, since they signed that agreement, and the news came out about the black op site in Chicago. We have had mega issues. I can't get this page to load now. And it's just everything else just loaded up like butter. Like butter. All right, fuck it. I guess we're just going to read. Yeah, it won't load an RT story. You know, I bet you they are putting, I have had more than my share over the last 2 or 3 days now of websites that will not connect. Tells me server not found. And when I go in and I actually look at the details, it gives me some sort of DNS error. Like they've almost been rerouted through the global DNS, so it just gets lost. Oh, nope, sorry. Nah, can't find it anymore. Oh, you can go to Facebook where we track everything you do and where we feed you information that we want to feed you, where we filter out news we don't find appropriate. But nope, nope, you can't go choose your own website because that is not appropriate. It will not find this RT page. I was just looking at it on 2 different machines in the last 10 minutes. Let's try a different browser. Resolving host. Oh. Resolving host. Maybe they gave me that DNS virus. You've got to be kidding me. This literally will not launch. Nor will it launch on YouTube. This is messed up. All right, one more try. We're going to try one more simple thing. Oh, maybe. Nope, web page not available. All right, one more simple thing. And let's try this one. Paste. I'm going to see if I can do it direct on this machine to YouTube. If not, this is multiple days now that they have been preventing me from hitting clips. Oh, here we go. All right. So anyway, now it's loading, but at least the page came up on YouTube. Hopefully this one loads. This was an event in front of Congress. Hillary Clinton, it was March of 2011. Hillary Clinton went in front of Congress, and Congress was questioning the State Department's $47 billion with a B dollar budget. And she was talking about how we are losing and it won't freaking load. It's an RT YouTube channel, too. I think they're going after RT. Now, check this out. You know, I just saw another story, too, where they were accusing RT of being dangerous now because they're giving information that could help ISIS. I wonder now if they're going to put RT as one of those target websites that we're not going to be able to have information from anymore because they're dangerous to national security. I bet some of our other friends' websites are probably going to be targeted as well. This literally will not load. I was just watching it upstairs just before I came down here. I played it and I know the video's there. I know it works. It just won't play out here. All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to dump this and I'm just going to have to.
Yes, is losing an information war to alternative media outlets, including RT. That's the message from Hillary Clinton to Congress members who are questioning the State Department's $47 billion budget request for next year. And as RT's Gani Chichikian reports, the U.S. Secretary of State says Washington needs to step up its propaganda efforts.
Hillary Clinton was defending her department budget in Congress. She says a major reason the State Department needs money is because the U.S. is losing the information war. And among those media who are winning that war, Hillary Clinton named RT.
I'll be very blunt in my assessment. Al Jazeera is winning. The Chinese have opened up a global English language and multi-language television network. The Russians have opened up an English language network. I've seen it in a few countries, and it's quite instructive.
Mrs. Clinton says she's leading an effort to spread U.S. propaganda through new media, with Twitter feeds in Arabic and Farsi. But on global stage, the U.S. trails when it comes to television. She basically said the U.S. should step up propaganda efforts and get back, quote, in the game of doing, quote, what we do best.
doing what we do best. But wait, there's more. There's more. And this was 2011, mind you.
Here's more.
During the Cold War, we did a great job in getting America's message out. After the Berlin Wall fell, we said, okay, fine, enough of that. You know, we've done it. We're done. And unfortunately, we are paying a big price for it. And our private media cannot fill that gap. In fact, our private media, particularly cultural programming, often works at counter purposes to what we truly are as Americans and what our values are. I remember having an Afghan general tell me that the only thing he thought about Americans is that all the men wrestled and the women walked around in bikinis, because the only TV he ever saw was Baywatch and Worldwide Wrestling.
Some 5 years ago, Western media outlets, including BBC and CNN, basically had a monopoly in the coverage of world news. Things have changed a lot since then. More and more viewers across the world tune into various foreign media to get a fresh take on the events. RT presence on YouTube, for example, is a real hit, almost 300 million views. CNN has something like 3 million. Al Jazeera's coverage of the unrest in the Middle East and in North Africa has outdone the U.S. presentation of the events. While many are happy to see this emerging media variety, the head of a U.S. agency that manages the country's government-run international broadcasting has basically called those foreign media enemies. This Wednesday, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton basically confirmed it, saying that the U.S. is at war, at an information war with foreign media.
Now, the U.S. is being left behind in the global media race because the country isn't committed to freedom of speech. That's according to investigative journalist Danny Schechter.
Now, this is amazing. See what I'm saying? Like, this is totally, totally financed by Russia. And it's in their best interest to show how shitty we are and all the things that are going on here and how deluded we are that we have free speech and that we're learning what's really going on. But the best part is that RT freaking just knocks them right out at the knees. Bam, Hillary Clinton, you just went down, lady. Now, this is, wait, because there's such a progression of events that happened. So remember, this is March of 2011.
The United States feels on the defensive, in part because it can no longer monopolize not only the terms of, authority in these countries, but also the terms of the debate. There's other information out there. There are other points of view. And those points of view are profoundly damaging to a country that believes that its point of view is the only point of view, or should be the only point of view. So Hillary Clinton one day is defending the internet, the next day, the administration is proposing all kinds of regulations and ways to cut off the internet if possible. There's no real commitment to the kind of freedom of diverse speech that we really need if we're going to be in a democracy at home and in a community of nations overseas.
Did you hear what he said? Like, right after that speech, they were trying to find ways to cut off the internet. So this has been a 4-year process that's been going on, and maybe even before, but I don't think that they ever thought that the internet would become such the behemoth of information and sharing of ideas that it has.
We can't dictate what people believe anymore.
Oh, that was the end. That finished quickly. The thing is, now that we see that they're like pointing to ISIS radicalizing on the internet and teenagers are running away and leaving home and joining ISIS because of that. Oh, hold on.
In the world. So slowly but surely, we've been trying to take back the airwaves in Afghanistan against Taliban with the most primitive kind of communication equipment. Now, take that as one example where I don't think we were very competitive and we have worked like crazy to change that. And then go to the most extreme, where you've got a set of global networks that Al Jazeera has been the leader in, that are literally changing people's minds and attitudes. And like it or hate it, it is really effective. And in fact, viewership of Al Jazeera is going up in the United States because it's real news. You may not agree with it, but you feel like you're getting real news around the clock instead of a million commercials and, you know, arguments between talking heads and the kind of stuff that we do on our news, which, you know, is not particularly informative to us, let alone foreigners.
We're the most, and the most interesting thing about Al Jazeera is you can't watch them on the internet anymore. Have you tried to go watch an Al Jazeera video over the last couple of years? It says this is not available in your country. You can't. They're done. Al Jazeera used to actually have some of the best clips. All right, here. So fast forward now 2 months. That first clip was from March of 2011. It was when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. And she said we were losing the propaganda war. I told you that was the very clip that motivated Madison to put his ass into gear and to get himself an alternative website. All right. So Billy Clinton comes out then. So what happens 8 days after Hillary Clinton's speech to Congress is Fukushima happens. And our four-year anniversary is coming up here in about a week. That was March 3rd that she spoke. It happened on March 11th of 2011. And there were all kinds of horrifying pieces of news coming out of Japan. We actually, Pigmine has a couple hundred video clips from those first few months, especially when there was information coming out here and there. And that's all stopped now. And what stopped all that is Hillary Clinton at the time, and I remember I took notes and I transcribed her entire speech. Hillary Clinton came out and said how important Japan's economy was to us, how incredibly important it was that the American people didn't panic and kept purchasing from Japan. And then Bill Clinton followed that up. This is when he was playing whack-a-mole, like acting like he was the wise one and had to keep coming out still and advising Obama with his narcissistic ways, two narcissists going head-to-head. It was kind of funny because it was always bloody. But Clinton comes out and says that there's so much false information going on in the internet that we should create an internet agency that determines whether or not stuff on the internet is truthful. Well, what did we just see? Like Monday, the whole Google Truth Ministry now coming, where they're going to scan your page and compare it against a database of truthful information that they've maintained. And if your website has quote-unquote truthful information that's ruled truthful by people on the internet, I guess, that you'll get top rankings. So it's not going to have anything to do with how many links you have or how popular your site is or how popular your article is anymore for rising to the top. It's going to be whether or not Google decides your website is truthful enough, propagandized enough, it has an angle that they're trying to sell you, so it gets to the top. Now, how bullshitty is that? And that came right on the heels of the FCC ruling. All right, let's read a little bit about Bill Clinton creating an internet agency. So this is May 13th, just over 2 months later, 2011. Bill Clinton doesn't like all the misinformation and rumors floating around on the internet. And this was about Fukushima. And he thinks that the United Nations or the U.S. government should create an agency to do something about it. It would be a legitimate thing to do, Clinton said in an interview airing Friday on CNBC. The agency, Clinton said, would, quote, have to be totally transparent about where the money came from. And would have to be, quote, independent because, quote, if it is a government agency in a traditional sense, it would have no credibility whatsoever, particularly with a lot of people who are most active on the internet, unquote, us. So let's give it all to Google. You know, the problem with that is that the majority of the American public don't believe Google is evil because Google's motto always was from day one, their catchphrase, Google is not evil. So because Google said so, they must not be. But we know better. Dig into the Google ugliness and you'll see 1,000 times more than you ever thought possible. All right, let's continue with the story. Quote, let's say the U.S. did it. It would have to be an independent federal agency that no president could countermand or anything else because people wouldn't think you were just censoring the news and giving a different falsehood out, said Clinton. That is, it would be like, I don't know, National Public Radio or BBC or something like that, except it would have to be really independent, and they would have to not express opinions, and their mandate would be narrowly confined to identifying relevant factual errors, he said. Also, they would have to make citations so that they could be checked in case they make a mistake. Someone needs to be doing it, and it may be worthy for an expenditure of taxpayer money. Can you believe this shit? So I remember when this happened. They've done it. We have our Google Ministry of Truth now. I was actually trying to pull that story up really quick. And of course, that one won't search either when I searched Google and Truth. Oh, now it comes. Hold on. Let's see. Google Truth websites. And we knew it was coming. It just is, Google to decide truth. Is that even going to bring anything? It doesn't. Truth on websites. Google. Jeez. Here we go. This is from March 2nd. In charge of truth, Google considers, so it hasn't happened yet, but they're considering it, ranking sites on facts, not popularity. Google is considering putting itself in charge of online truth in order to assist users in an age of information overload. Yes, it's for you. It's for your own good. And you know, Google is already tailoring your feeds. So you and I can search for the same things, but based upon what they deem is your preferences, what they deem is your topics that you like to follow, that's what they feed you. They don't feed you all the news. They feed you the news that they think you want to see. All right, let's work on this. The web giant would rank search results based upon each site's quote-unquote truth score instead of its popularity level. The search engine currently relies on a system that ranks websites based on how many times the page has been linked to, which means that even fake information has a way of making it up the food chain in search results. And you want to know something? When I posted the story the other day on Behind the Curtain, one of my pages that I maintain, somebody actually commented on it and said, good, about time. Like they were actually for it. They're the same people who probably are for net neutrality. The same people that have been convinced that everything that we see on TV and in the news is true. All right, so let's hop over here now to a historical perspective. It is called the United States Information Agency. The United States Information Agency, which existed from 1953 to 1999, was a United States agency devoted to public diplomacy. In 1999, the United States Information Agency's broadcasting functions were moved to the newly created Broadcasting Board of Governors, and they are the ones who are in charge now. And its exchange and non-broadcasting information functions were given to the newly created Undersecretary of State for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs at the U.S. Department of State. The agency was previously known overseas as the United States Information Service. Their mission was created by President Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1953. The United States Information Agency's mission was to, quote, understand, inform, and influence foreign publics in promotion of the national interest and to broaden the dialogue between Americans and U.S. institutions and their counterparts abroad. Yes, our embassies are the focal point. The United States Information Agency was established to, quote, streamline the United States government's overseas information programs and make them more effective. The United States Information Agency was the largest full-service public relations organization in the world, spending over $2 billion a year to highlight America's view while diminishing the Soviet side through about 150 different countries. So how interesting, in 1953, it was about going against the Soviets. And then we hear Hillary Clinton in 2011 screaming about RT. Boo hoo hoo. I mean, I find it kind of ironic that they beat us at our own game. It's sort of fucking funny, and the internet allowed them to do it. Its stated goal, so this is back to the 1953 version of the United States Information Agency, its stated goals were to explain and advocate U.S. policies in terms that are credible and meaningful in foreign countries. Two, to provide information about the official policies of the United States and about the people, the values, the institutions for which influence those policies. Number three, to bring benefits of international engagement to American citizens and institutions by helping them build strong long-term relationships with their counterparts overseas. And number four, to advise the president and the U.S. government policymakers on the ways in which foreign attitudes will have a direct bearing on the effectiveness of U.S. policies. Yes, the spy mission. Yes, the destabilization mission. That's what that number four did not say. Propaganda played a large role in how the United States was viewed by the world during the Cold War. American propagandists felt as though the Hollywood movie industry was destroying the image of the United States and in other countries. And I wonder if that wasn't what Hillary was talking about, where they used to say that we thought Americans ran around on the beach in bikinis. In response to the negative portrayal of America from communist propaganda, the USIA, the United States Information Agency, existed as much to provide a view of the world to the United States as it did to give the world a view of America. So it says right there that they used it on us, even though it wasn't legal. They used it on us back then to give us a view of Russia and give Russia a view of us. And they did. They made us think Russia was bad at the time. Remember, we had this, like I said, when all this first started to turn upside down in 2011, I remember thinking to myself, wow, who would have ever thought in what alter universe that I would be thinking Putin was a better guy than our president? And I mean, we know Putin. I'm telling you, Putin dreams of ripping out fingernails with needle nose pliers and a blowtorch. Okay. He was secret ops of KGB on private missions. He's not a nice guy. He does have his own PR firm in the United States, and that's where all the shirtless Putin alpha male riding on tigers carrying a shotgun comes from. But Putin is not a nice guy. All right, this is going to talk about now the purpose of the United States Information Service in the United States. The purpose of the USIA within the U.S. was to assure that Americans, quote, the United States was working for a better world, unquote. Abroad, the USIA aimed to preserve a positive image of America, regardless of negative depictions from communist propaganda. One notable project was Project Pedro, a secretly funded project to create newsreels in Mexico during the 1950s that portrayed communism unfavorably and the United States positively. And, you know, Hillary said that she was going to start using Twitter in that clip we heard. Well, didn't we just see one of the South American countries, probably in the last 6 to 8 months, accusing the United States of trying to destabilize, maybe it was Venezuela, of trying to destabilize their country using a fake Twitter account, trying to start a revolution? We absolutely did, 100%. So that's where your tax dollars are going, to Twitter accounts. All right, let's get into the media now, because this was a bit interesting as well. From the beginning, Dwight Eisenhower said, quote, audiences would be more receptive to the American message if they were kept from identifying it as propaganda. Avowedly so, propagandistic materials from the United States might convince a few. But the same viewpoints presented by the seemingly independent voices, would be more persuasive. According to the Kennedy memorandum, the USIA utilized various forms of media, including, quote, personal contact, so agents, radio broadcasting, libraries, book publication and distribution, press motion pictures, television, exhibits, English language instruction, and others. And through these different forms, the United States government was able to distribute and disguise the propaganda more easily and engage a greater concentration of the people. Now, what really got me about that is that I truly remember, and I found the information. Hold on, let's scroll up there. Yes, the NDAA in 2012 legalized this exact form of propaganda that had been used by the State Department, specifically for Russia, but you see it being used all over the world, especially in the Middle Eastern countries. At one point, I remember them dropping pamphlets over Iraq. And I mean, they've done other horrible things. They've sprayed populations with concoctions to see if they would affect their behavior to make them more palatable for takeover. Like we talked about last week, with the 13 most horrifying human experiments globally. That was that Unit 731 in Japan and some of the Tuskegee experiments, the United States, all kinds of crazy shit we've done experimenting on the human populace that even though it was private or secret at the time, it has come out to be public knowledge. And don't think that all this crazy vaccine shit, the nanotech, shit, the anti-vaxxer, point your finger screaming isn't propaganda, because it is. They want to forward their agenda to continue us to be the guinea pig sheeple we've been, except that the tide is turning. That should make us feel good. But this whole FCC ruling, I'm telling you, this was kicking our knees out from under us. You wait and see. I am seeing horrible things. And I'm telling you, there's been so much weird shit going on here the last week with just things breaking out of the blue for no reason whatsoever. My bandwidth here has gone down to 1/10 of what it was. I'm down to 2 meg upload or download. 2 meg download. I used to be like 5 meg upload, but I'm down to 2 meg download. I was a 20 meg download. All right, let's read this story now. So Hillary Clinton came out with her congressional questioning in March of 2011. Bill Clinton came out in May of 2011 talking about the Truth Department. Google comes out with their proposed Truth Department days after the FCC ruling. And now let's backward in time again, back to 2012, May 21st. The NDAA is passed. This story, under Military and Defense, Business Insider, the NDAA legalizes the use of propaganda on the U.S. public. The newest version of the National Defense Authorization Act, or more affectionately known as the NDAA, includes an amendment that would legalize the use of propaganda on the American public, reports Mike Hastings of BuzzFeed. Is that the Michael Hastings that is now dead? I believe it is, with the remote-controlled, that DARPA pointed out, the remote-controlled car that smashed 150 miles an hour into a telephone pole. That's very interesting. And we've seen a lot of deaths recently, by the way, of journalists, haven't we? There were 4 within a week of each other, I believe. The amendment proposed by Mac Thornberry of Texas and Adam Smith of Washington State and passed in the House last Friday afternoon would effectively nullify the Smith-Mundt, M-U-N-D-T, Act of 1948, which explicitly forbids information and psychological operations aimed at influencing U.S. public opinion. That's why we're going to do a whole week on mind control and propaganda. I'm working on that now. Might not be till next week, though. But I'm telling you, the shit is all 100% in force, working against us, and it's all real. Thornberry said that the current law, quote, ties the hands of Americans, diplomatic officials, military, and others by inhibiting our ability to effectively communicate in a credible way. The vote came just 2 days after a federal judge ruled that an indefinite detention provision in an annual defense bill was unconstitutional. I don't know if that was overruled, though, I believe, after that. Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis, who released a highly critical report regarding the distortion of truth by senior military officials in Iraq and Afghanistan, dedicated a section of his report to information operations, which is military, by the way, and states that after Desert Storm, the military wanted to transform information operations, quote, into a core military competency on par with ground, air, maritime, and special operations. So guys, as cyber patrol and security of the internet became the utmost concern because it's now where the war is being fought, and all of the federal alphabet agencies now have cyber patrol operations. We've lost control of the internet. The feds just took the last step and put the FCC in charge. Well, guess what? In 2012, they also called out the control of information on the internet to the American people a military operation. Now, we know that there's military trolls as part of Cyber Patrol that have been adding comments, trolling chat rooms, directing or diverting the conversations, trying to distract us from the real issues, being disinformation agents out there. What do you think that that's a part of? That's this. That's the PSYOP. They've now turned everything, and legally so, everything that they've been doing overseas all these years to us. And General Keith Alexander, who now... he was in charge of it all. He was the longest running head of the NSA. He created cybersecurity, and it was all under the same leader that all of the every bit of NORTHCOM, CENTCOM, all of the military regional leadership, joint information chiefs, they were all under this man. He was, or maybe he was in the joint of information chiefs. He was the head honcho. He's now in private practice. He now just got his operations up and running for his corporation. He threatened the banks. Remember, I connected the XP, the antitrust lawsuit, Bill Gates bending over, handing the keys, Windows XP, and just as Windows XP ends all support, and Keith Alexander says, oh, J.P. Morgan, Wall Street moguls, we gave you bailouts. Now you got to pay me back. I want to come in there for $1 million a month and fix you. And they said, fuck off. Right after all that happened, Windows says, hey, Windows XP support is all done. And we had 100-plus banks get attacked by hackers for over $1 trillion. And Obama says, whoop, executive order. And it was, what, 2 weeks ago? Now, all companies and the government are going to work together. And we got Microsoft Cyber Patrol. And, oh, the CIA is getting into the Cyber Patrol game. And it's all a part of security, national interest. And you have no say in it. Well, it all started to spawn in 2012. Colonel Davis defines, this is back to the story, information operations as, quote, the integrated employment of, one, electronic warfare, two, computer network operations, 3, psychological operations. 4, military deception. And 5, operation security, in concert with specified supporting and related capabilities to influence, disrupt, corrupt, or usurp adversarial human and automated decision-making while protecting our own. Guys, that is the money shot right there. It has been turned into an informational military operation, the internet. And they just usurped, even used that, didn't he? Usurp adversarial human and automated decision making. They usurped the internet. Don't forget DARPA, part of the DOD, has big influence inside of Google. All right, a little bit more. Information operations are primarily used to target foreign audiences, but Davis cites numerous senior leaders who want to, quote, protect a key friendly center of gravity, to wit, U.S. national will, by repealing the Smith-Mundt Act to allow the direct deployment of these tactics on the American people. Davis quotes Brigadier General Ralph O. Baker, the Pentagon officer responsible for the Department of Defense's Joint Force Development, i.e. Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, who defines informational operations as activities undertaken to, quote, shape the essential narrative of a conflict or situation and thus affect the attitudes and behaviors of the targeted audience. Davis subsequently explains, quote, cumulative failure on our nation's major media in every category as they continually interviewed only those senior U.S. officials who had top-level access, even as the officials given that clearance were required to stick to, quote, talking points given to them by Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. The State Department and Pentagon go beyond manipulating mainstream media outlets and directly disseminate campaigns of misinformation to the U.S. public. So there you go, people in black and white. It has been happening now, at least right under our noses, for the last 3 years. And probably way longer than that. So we're running out of time here. But we are going to hit one more video, and this was just recently. John Kerry had come out, and they are now asking Congress for a huge chunk of change. Here, actually, let's try this. Maybe we can get this to work. All right, let's see. We're going to see John Kerry during a press conference. Actually, this one was from 2014. It's very frustrating. Let's try and stop this one. And I don't know. I don't know what else to do here. I guess I'll have to read. Ah, here we go.
The propaganda bullhorn. It is the state-sponsored Russia Today program. Has been deployed to promote, actually, Russia Today Network has deployed to promote President Putin's fantasy about what is playing out on the ground. They almost spend full time devoted to this effort to propagandize and to distort what is happening or not happening in Ukraine.
So there you go. They're crying because the whole Ukrainian narrative has been brought out a lot by RT, and the State Department does not like that. We are getting an alter perspective. Now, one more, if we can get this one to play, and I think if I click on another link on another machine, it kind of makes the internet move forward. Come on, let's go. Let's suck an orange through a straw. Honestly, that's what it's like. Let's go, let's go. You're affecting my show. All right, maybe. I just can't believe how just conveniently stuff always stops working. Problem, nope, can't find the page. Problem, nope, won't load the video. Problem, nope, an error occurred. Oh, here we go now. Oh, well, I think we might have to say screw it. Do I even have that RT story up? I think I do. Anyway, so they're crying the blues because RT's been calling out what's happening in the Ukraine, and we're saying, no, no, it's Russia stomping all over Ukraine, and we need to step up in there and give them support and give them weapons, and we need to stand up in another proxy war.
Gary, stop flattering us. By us, I mean RT. The Secretary of State is complaining the American media are losing the battle for international audiences. Speaking at a House committee meeting, he begged for more funding.
You're investing $5 million, as announced by the president, in public relations. We have failed. We have lost this war, and I don't get it. I'd love to get a briefing and understand why we're losing this public relations.
Well, I want to give you, I mean, I really want to engage in that discussion with everybody. Russia Today can be heard in English.
And there we go. That's why we're losing. Russian Today can be heard in English. All right, guys. So just remember, man, that's why they're taking over the FCC. They're losing. And that's why our alternative media, I think, is going to suffer because of this. We need to make sure that we find an alternate method of expressing ourselves. I don't know. We'll try and keep things up and running for as long as we can. All right, we got a few more seconds here. Let's see.
Do we have an equivalent that can be heard in Russian? That's a pretty expensive proposition. They're spending huge amounts of money with you know, speaking languages that other people understand and putting out information that other people understand in other countries.
And, you know, the thing is, nah, you know why we're not spending the money on propaganda over there in Russian? Because we're dropping bombs on people. All right, everybody, make sure you stick around. It is Wednesday. Wednesday is always fun. We have Josh live at 6 p.m. Eastern, anti-tyranny news, continual condition with the boys from New York at 8 p.m. Eastern. Truth or Talk, always a great show. It's a replay this week for April and Burstein and Anti-Media Radio with Nick and DV on live at 11 p.m. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Everyone, have an awesome Wednesday. Take care.